It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country is sponsored by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola.
It's not Dan Berger today. I don't know where he is. I forget.
Canada.
Yeah. Tom Simoneau's back with us.
Hey, Jackson.
And today we've got Sterling Vineyards, the return of Sterling. Oh, I love the Sterling. Whisper Sisters. Explain Whisper Sisters.
Well, let's introduce.
You guys have been in before, haven't you? Somebody has.
Nope, I haven't. I'll introduce myself.
I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve. Nice to meet you. I'm Megan O'Connor. I'm the brand manager for Behringer, and I'm really happy to be here today.
Okay, Behringer Sterling.
We got a few.
Yeah, you got a few.
We got a few. Jim Cottle back again. Nice to see you
good
again.
Good to see you, buddy. It's been a long time, man.
How appropriate is it that Whisper Sisters, one of the things that celebrates the speakeasies, because one of the times in D.C., you and I were in a speakeasy.
Singing.
No, we'll leave that alone.
I was playing piano, accompanying you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a drunken night. That was fun. In D.C., we took the place by storm, man.
What if somebody's listening?
Remember we kept talking about going on the road?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
So, see, that night, Jim came up with this great idea for Whisper Sisters, which is new brand that they're going to be.
And so we're bringing it all back around and all together.
Okay.
Megan is going to be talking about here.
Okay. So, Sterling and Behringer. I love Behringer, too. Let's start with that, the history of Behringer, because they're iconic. They've been around forever, right?
They have. They're the oldest continuously operating winery in Napa Valley. Went through Prohibition, which is part of what this story is all about.
They didn't grow prunes during Prohibition, did
they? Oh, no. They grew sacramental wine and some spirits. And the most famous thing, or infamous, depending on how you want to look at it, is a grape brick, a compressed thing that they would ship out with a warning that said, don't you dare put this in water and leave it alone for a little while because it might turn into wine, and that's not really legal.
Do not add water and do not add sugar. Yes.
Do not.
Yeast. Do not add yeast.
And that worked pretty well.
I remember that. Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn. Hey, buddy.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Very good to see you.
Good to
pal.
See you.
Yeah, fellow wine judge.
Yeah.
And so we also have started a new offshoot label as part of this, honoring the Behringer brothers, who founded it in
1875.
And you once before looked at this wonderful label that comes to life with the living wine labels.
Yes, remember the talking wine labels?
I still have that on my that app on my phone, yeah.
So the first wines that were part of this were all aged in bourbon barrels, and Megan's here to share with you something really interesting, and Tom's been talking about nonstop for the last hour or so. Sauvignon Blanc aged in tequila barrels, which is a very interesting concept. And
Megan, tell us who thought of that and why, and tell us how come it tastes as much like not like Sauvignon Blanc as this is.
Yeah, all really good questions. So we had the idea for this line a couple years ago. We call it our Behringer Brothers Spirit Barrel Aged line. And the idea came from a couple different places. One is that obviously craft spirits are really taking off right now, right? Everyone loves bourbon. They love artisanal tequila, rye, rum. And wine drinkers are getting more and more adventurous as they're drinking, nice beer and spirits alongside wine. And so we thought it would be really interesting to see if we could expand the definition of wine a little bit and see what happens when you age Behringer wine in spirit barrels. And what's even more interesting is that we actually have a tradition of doing this at Behringer. So 140 years ago when Behringer was founded, the two brothers that founded Behringer, Jacob and Frederick, they founded a Behringer winery and a Behringer distillery at the same time, and they would trade barrels between the two. So they were literally aging wine in spirit barrels 140 years ago, and now fast forward to today, and we've just revived what they started doing back then.
Everything old is new again.
Exactly. So what happens when you age Sauvignon Blanc in tequila barrels is two things. Is first, you get impact from the oak barrels, which is the same kind of impact that oak barrels have on any wine. Is it rounds out the edges. It makes it seem kind of softer and warmer. It makes the acidity a little bit less bracing. And it also adds really beautiful flavors of vanilla and clove. And so when you drink Sauvignon Blanc, you're normally thinking about like citrus and grassy notes. But to have vanilla in there as well makes a really complex, interesting wine. You noted floral notes before too. So that, I think, gets to the second impact that these barrels have is when you have a tequila barrel, you have teeny little bits of tequila that are left in the wood that have soaked in from when they were aging tequila. And some of that tequila can have an impact on the wine. And so when you think about tequila flavors, you think about citrus, lemon, agave, herbal, maybe some floral notes.
There's no worm in this, is it?
No worries.
Thank you.
There could be.
Yeah, maybe next release. Yeah.
Great marketing idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Jackson, you're onto something.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
That'll be SKU number two.
Yeah, really? So anyway, so you get this really complex wine with all these different tequila and barrel flavors in it.
So, I mean,
that's fascinating.
You know, some of the Sauvignon Blancs over the years have been aged in oak before, but the idea of this tequila barrel, when I first tasted this wine, I first tasted it yesterday, the aromatics to me, just I'm going like, wow. You know, it really...
There's no taste of tequila in it, right?
I don't think so. My palate isn't really spirits-oriented because I'm a wine guy, not a spirits guy. But the note in the nose really is distinctive. And it really does... It's not like you just did this and you just said, well, we'll put it in tequila barrels and it won't make a difference. It certainly does make a difference.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to hear you saying all these things because we made this wine and we wanted it to be special but still drinkable. So we didn't want it to be like a shot of tequila where you have one and done. It's a very drinkable bottle. The alcohol is still moderate, but it's a little something different.
Is that one of the talking labels, Jim?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful. That's cool as hell.
Hold your phone up to it. And this particular label, the two Beringer brothers ask for your help in taking their picture as they announce the new winery they've just founded. So it's
and they're no longer with us. But
this was 18. Or se- when was it? 1876.
Wow.
Hello.
It's kind of like half wine bottle, half liquor bottle.
It is. It's a beautiful package, cool. Man. It looks like a spirits bottle. That's the idea.
That's, yeah.
Well, your labels are always amazing. And not just the talking ones, but, they're beautiful.
And on the back of this bottle, it explains how you get the app onto your phone so that you can bring that to the front. And then on your phone, you'll actually watch this little cartoon, which is very classic.
It works on a variety of winery labels now, and it's been downloaded 3 million times.
Wow. Really?
It is cool.
Yeah.
You got it.
It's totally wild. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a dinosaur. I don't have an app that does that yet, but it's okay.
You've still got a rotary phone for crying out loud. Come on.
Exactly. I just realized why I was confused, which I always am, but Mike put on my show sheet presenting, and it looks like I read it as the Whisper Sisters, and I thought, oh, that's a band. They're playing at Hot Monk Saturday. I couldn't figure out, but now I remember, Jim, Whisper Sister. Singular is a Beringer wine. Okay, the name.
Okay, let's go.
It didn't really come from.
We're ready to move on to the red.
Sure,
right?
I think so.
So Megan, why don't you explain this next wine to everyone?
Okay, do you guys want to taste
yes,
too?
Yes, absolutely.
Dump out? Yeah.
Well, while you're getting it ready, why don't I share a little of the story that this is in the Beringer Brothers line. And Beringer Brothers, as it turns out, had a sister.
Who whispered?
Yeah, and during Prohibition, when you used to, you know, walk up to a door quietly and kind of whisper and ask for your way in, it often was run by a female, a woman, and that woman was called a Whisper Sister.
Really?
And so in honor of Bertha Beringer running the winery during Prohibition and really doing something that most wineries didn't survive during that period, they had to start all over again, but she kept it going. So if you'll look on the back of the bottle as it makes its way around, you'll see her picture and her story. And this is a wonderful tribute to her. Now, this one is not aged in spirits barrels, and it's a blend of Napa and Sonoma at a very attractive price for people. And obviously a label that looks and harkens to Prohibition and all of the interest in that, which we've had some anniversaries and things lately, but...
Thanks for the intro, Jim. So Our Behringer Brothers line is really fun for us because we use it to bring to life different points of Behringer's history. So our tequila barrel-aged Sauvignon Blanc, for example, it looks back to the founding of the winery when we had a distillery right next door, whereas Whisper Sister looks back to the 1920s when Prohibition was active. And as you all know, Prohibition really devastated California's wine country. It's only 5% of the wineries active at the time remained open after Prohibition, I think is the stat. And one of those wineries was Behringer. And the reason is the woman who ran Behringer for that entire decade, which was Bertha Behringer. And she was the daughter of the founder, Jacob Behringer. And she was really, really smart and a little bit creative with how she interpreted the law of that decade. And she did all these things that Jim mentioned before, like, she couldn't sell wine through traditional channels, so she sold wine to the church as sacramental wine. She sold wine as medicinal brandy, and I'm doing air quotes here. It really wasn't medicinal, but to pharmacies, and then also wine bricks, like Jim said. And so
because it was medicinal. Come on.
We all need that medicine.
We self-medicate almost every night.
And so she was so clever that by the time Prohibition was repealed, Behringer was still chugging along. And, 140 years later, we're still here.
I'm looking at the website, by the way, Behringer.com. By the time Prohibition was repealed in 1933, 95% of California wineries had been forced to close. Not Behringer.
Nope.
Which you alluded to earlier.
We forgot to mention the price of the Sauvignon Blanc. For what's the price of the Sauv Blanc?
Oh, so you'll see that on shelf for about $17.99.
Okay. Jeez.
And then this Raya, it's really nice wine. And then this Cabernet Sauvignon is about $24.99.
$24.99, and it's predominantly Napa Valley. It's only like how much
Wait
is
a
it?
I think it's 83%. Hold on, Mike's got your mic off for some reason.
Oh, I think it's 86% this vintage Napa Valley. So vast majority. And what's interesting, too, is that we love bringing little bits of history to life in our wines. And so we added a splash of Petit Syrah to this blend, just 3 or 4%, because that was one of our most popular grapes back during the 20s for Behringer.
Ah. And, it's a 17 vintage, so this is like brand spanking new. Is it on the shelves today? I mean, people can find it?
Yeah, it just started shipping last month, so it should be.
Okay, so it's brand spanking new.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sauv Blanc, too?
Sauv Blanc's been out for a little bit longer.
That's a 17 vintage as well?
Yes.
Or is that, yeah. And this is a 17. And, the crazy thing is 17, that was the year we had the fires. And a lot of people have asked me questions about, smoke taint and all. And the wonderful thing about the wines that were already picked and in were really high quality. And the shortage is going to be out there as we proceed through the vintage 17 as we sell through it. So people need to jump on it early because there's probably not a whole lot of this.
I think we made in the first iteration about 8 to 10,000 cases, I think.
So that's tiny.
When you stretch it out across the country.
Yeah, because you're nationally distributed. I mean, Behringer isn't like Seminole.
Go to your favorite retailer, the one sitting right here.
Yeah, and Barry, talk about Behringer's got to be a major seller for Bottle Barn.
Yeah, we actually have a big promotion on the Luminous Chardonnay right now.
Oh.
It's flying out the door. We have a really good price on that. And it's the first time I've tried these, but we'll definitely be working with these, especially the Cabernet.
Oh,
super
good. Good
attractive.
To hear. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard to find cab at that
price. I was going to say, at that price,
really hard.
That is this fruit forward and juicy. And
especially with that designation, you usually have to go out to Lodi, Sierra Foothills to get more affordable Mendocino.
For that kind of price, $25 for a Napa cab.
It's incredible.
And it's because you guys own your own vineyards and such, correct?
It has a lot to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, when you own it and you bought it in 1876, I know you have to replant it because of phylloxera and all, but beyond that.
Well, when you visit the wonderful home place over in St. Helena, the Behringer home place where the Rhine House is and the other parts, the old winery and so on. The vineyard that's there behind the hotel, actually, that's there now, Los Alcabos, we call it the home vineyard, but it was the one that they originally planted.
Really?
So it obviously has had some replantings.
Of course.
Since, but we treat it with incredible care.
That's some special ground.
And we have, as you know, Mark Behringer, the great-great-grandson of one of the founding Behringer brothers, is now our winemaker. And we have a very special wine that we'll come back and share with you at some point. But he's the eighth winemaker in the segment. See, most sure. of them family members or close. And so we bring out a wine called Eighth Maker, and it's a beautiful, beautiful wine. You're going to really love it. It's a little higher
it's a
than
cab?
This one.
Yeah,
it's a cab.
Yeah. It's a little more expensive than $25, I'll bet.
Yeah, probably more like $400 or, you know, wow.
Well, Bertha came out at $25, right? So, yeah. Hey.
See, women are still getting underrepresented.
Yeah, that's right. But she's a whisper sister. I love that story.
That would make a good band name, actually.
It would make a good
name. Yes, it would.
Let's get the band back together, guys. Come on.
Reunite.
Well, yeah. What happened to my producer?
He's walking in right now as we speak.
There he is.
Are you okay? It's all good. Hey, I got to ask you, is Tanya's piano still here? Oh, bummer. I was thinking Jim and I could do our act.
Yeah, there you go.
And now, from Washington, D.C. to Santa Rosa, California.
Here we go.
See if you still got it.
Live. The Whisper Sister.
It was hilarious, man.
When Jim told me that happened, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he walks in the door and you're there? Hello?
Yeah, well, we were meeting Jim Morris, right?
We were meeting Jim Morris, yeah.
And you were with him.
We were doing a Wine Spectator Grand Tasting event.
Got it.
We were on the road for a while.
Yeah.
So, and Santa Rosa to D.C.
Yeah.
Hello.
And I don't know.
On a Saturday night?
We played about an hour or so, I think.
We closed the place down and kept going until...
That's true.
But we're getting off topic.
Yeah, that's right.
Good old days.
I know. But that was so much fun.
It was fun. And wine should be fun. So it ties it all together.
That's right. So is that the Behringer side of things for the...
That's the Behringer side.
Okay, because, you know, Behringer is owned by Treasury Wine Estates. And a lot of the wines that we're going to taste today, because we're going to have some fun here, we're going to taste some aluminum bottles from Sterling.
I see those.
And then we've got a Pinot from Chateau St. Jean, correct? And then what do we have?
We have another Pinot from Santa Barbara, Fighting Chance, which popularly priced brand new product.
And then I see something that I'm pining for, the Provenance
Deadeye.
Deadeye.
Which is a
red blend. You guys have the best names.
Predominantly Cabernet. And there's a story behind the Deadeye, but it is a lovely wine. We've been showing it to folks, and it's gotten great acclaim across the board.
But I want to have, when we come back from the break, we have to talk about the aluminum bottles.
Sure.
Because this is the wildest new thing that is going on in the wine business. And is it not taking off? Isn't it one of the leading new categories?
Yeah, absolutely. Casual occasion wine consumption. Huge, to use marketing words.
Casual occasion.
All right, coming up Saturday night at Hop Monk, it's the Whisper Brothers.
Nice.
Jim Caudle and Steve Jackson will be performing.
There you go.
It won't be as good as our D.C. gig. That was...
I don't know.
That's the live record, right? Isn't that coming out soon?
Live.
Well, unfortunately, Jim Morris has a tape that he trots out from time to time.
Oh, great. We got to play that on the air.
No, we don't.
Megan O'Connor and Jim Caudle here from the great Behringer Winery. 100 and how many years now? 40 years. 140 years.
My goodness.
Actually, that's before we were together, Jackson.
Yeah.
Pretty close, though.
You don't look that old, Jim.
I know. I work hard at it.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. Della Tofola wishes all their customers the very best for Harvest 2019. Jim, you're familiar with Della Tofola.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great stuff.
If you need any last-minute equipment, Della Tofola has a selection of equipment in stock now, ready for pickup or delivery today. Their technicians are there for all your service needs. For more than 60 years, Della Tofola has been making equipment for the wine country, and they do it worldwide, but they're based in Santa Rosa. From crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, filters to fillers, and complete packaging solutions for the wine and beer and spirits industry. And they have everything to get your grapes from vineyard to bottle. Della Tofola USA, online at delatofola.us. You can call them at 544-5300 here in Santa Rosa. Okay, now we've got this. Tom, explain this.
So we're gonna move to the new packaging that is one of the hottest items in the wine business today. And I'm not going to call it a can. It's a bottle.
Oh, my God.
No, don't can. It's not, a, not can. A can. They do come. Wine is now in a can.
It is, but these but not Sterling, are so aluminum much better. Bottles.
No, these aluminum bottles are the coolest thing. I was going like, why would I ever need an aluminum bottle? But you know what? If you're by a pool, if you're going, you know, you're going to the beach, you want to throw something into your cooler, it gets cold fast. And some of these little aluminum things.
And they are little. They're not regular.
Well, it's a 375, so it's a half bottle.
Okay.
And they're priced somewhere between $7 and $8 a bottle, right?
That's Jim? Correct, yeah.
And they're, a lot of these are wine coolers that are part wine and part concentrate, right? Like the old Bottles and James and all.
Yeah.
Well, the Sterling is not. This is all real wine, and it's very good. I couldn't believe it when I tasted it. At first, I was sipping it out of the bottle, right? And you can't. There's no nose there. But you take it, put it in your glass, and there it goes.
So what does it do? How does it affect positively the wine? Besides getting cool fast in a.
They have been making alternative packages like this for a while, so they kind of figured it out. And there's things do interact with aluminum and so on. So there's a coating, and they've figured out they don't have to change the winemaking very much, really. And so it's really all about alternatives for, as you were saying, go to the beach, go to the ballpark, concerts, all these sorts of places where the last thing you want as people are having a great time is glass bottles that are going to break.
Exactly. Could you pass that cap? Because
so
I haven't tried yet.
Pass these around. We have this in Chardonnay and a rosé.
And this is Sterling, not Behringer.
This is Sterling. Sterling
okay.
Vineyard. So we've gone up toward Calistoga to that wonderful winery where the gondola
the
takes
Chardonnay.
You up to the beautiful Greek monastery. There aren't any monks up there, but there's a lot of great wine.
Wow, that is cold.
Yeah.
It stays cold
out.
Longer than...
I think it probably
out here for
does.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We see a lot of people, you know, on social media, they share their experiences, and we see a lot of pictures of people at the beach with a bunch of ice buckets and throwing things in the bucket and taking it with them. But it's really become a category that has a lot of innovation in it, a lot of packaging. You said the other guys have cans, but Sterling, as the official wine of the Emmys, and, you know, it has its tagline is Sterling Style. There's no way we're doing cans. We're going to do this beautiful package that you see
here. And it's
here.
A nice package, isn't it?
It's very cool.
Brushed
yeah.
aluminum. I mean, this is something that, A-listers would be proud to carry down the
So the Chardonnay walkway. Is very good. Can I yeah. try Can I try the Cabernet?
Absolutely.
You've got it right there.
I was going to say, who took that puppy?
Did we tell you? I wanted to get some history on Sterling as well, because we did the Behringer thing.
Yeah, Sterling is another iconic winery in Napa.
Yeah, been around for a long time.
Peter Newton, a British fellow, established it in the 60s. And he he brought with him his European sensibilities, and he made a winery up on a hill. It's actually there right on Dunwell Lane, where you can see the Castillo de Amoroso across the way from the hillside. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only wineries. Whenever people say it's the only, I always get nervous. That's my background as a journalist. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say it's probably the only winery in the world that has a gondola that you have to get on to get up to.
Takes you from the parking lot up to
it's
the winery.
Like, I know. Right? I've seen it.
Yeah. Just made, yeah.
I lived in Calistoga cool. when I first came to California, and I've done a wheel
it's
lane
one of the
all
most. It's always been, along with Mondavi and some of the other ones that have been around for a while, one of the most popular places for people to visit. And it's popular for families because kids love to ride that gondola. And we have a little backpack we give them up at the top and, you know, distract them while mom and dad are having a great time. But the winery itself is known. It's the first winery to introduce varietally labeled Merlot. For many years, people knew it as a Merlot house. And we make, you know, they make a lot of wines that are super luxe. And then we have also a Sterling Vintners collection, more available, more accessible, sourced from our vineyards throughout California. And so this is from Sterling Vineyards. And this, it represents that kind of value. But the same kind of, you know, wanting to do a really great quality wine is evident here as it is in the Iridium bottle.
I believe it's a 17, correct? Also a 17 vintage, yes.
I think it's, I think they are, actually.
It's a 17, so. I can see it now. And I'll tell you, it's real wine. The first thing I thought of was okay, what are they going to put in an aluminum bottle? But when I tasted the Chardonnay, I went, whoa. Right, and then
that's fascinating.
So it meets, you know, it meets two needs: people that are still wanting to have a really nice wine, but also are open to new ways of getting their wine in packages and taking it around.
Yeah,
it's really
what's
great
in
stuff.
That blue bottle? Is that Megan's water?
Yeah,
that's my water.
I had a feeling you were 1 liter version. I thought you were going to throw out another thing.
I think it was
that's
left
a new
over
brand,
from the hour
Megan's
before.
Water.
Maybe something in there that.
Whisper Sister, Megan's Water, it's all available right now.
Folks. Well, you know, Treasury, they're innovative.
Very.
Yeah.
Tom?
Innovative and yet bring it home to Sonoma County. Megan is also someone that I work with on Chateau St. Jean here in Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would bring along a special bottle celebrating the fact that Margot van Staveren is about to do her 40th harvest at Chateau St. Jean this fall. It's incredibly impressive. There are lots of people, especially family-owned wineries, where people stay there for a long time. But Margot, I always use the hashtag, and she gets mad when I say it, but Margot Rules is my hashtag on everything I do. And she is...
Is just Chateau St. Jean only? Is that her?
She actually is has been for the longest time the winemaker and general manager for Chateau St. Jean. But Treasury knows when it has a star among its staff, and so she is also the director of luxury winemaking, overseeing all of Treasury's different.
So did
wines.
She also work with Dick Arrowood when he was at St. Jean?
Started way back.
So she started with 40 years ago.
Yeah, she started.
So Dick
right
Arrowood was with St. Jean, and she worked. And learn from him as well.
We
all
love
know,
Mr. Arrowood.
You know,
he's been
Dick
in many
is
times.
Up to. That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has now become a star in her own
right. In her own right.
Yeah.
And she always says to me, we've known each other quite a while, and she's always saying, you know, we're known for Cinque Sapages, and in particular, it was the number one wine of the year for Wine Spectator at one point.
Cinque Sapages?
Cinque Sapages.
Cinque Sapages. Five grapes.
Five it's a Bordeaux blended blend.
Bordeaux. I think it was the 95 that...
96, I think, maybe.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
That was also the time period when Behringer was winning wines, number one wines of the year, so it crosses over in my head sometimes.
It was a little fist fight between the two.
Yeah. But Margot always says, you know, people really ought to know more about our Pinots, and Chateau St. Jean's always been known.
Where did this come from?
I thought you'd like that.
Hallberg Ranch.
This is Hallberg Ranch, which is a well-known ranch in the Russian River Valley that actually other vintners also get a little piece of. But when you have been around for 40 years, you make relationships with growers. And
Barry's reaching across the table.
Yeah, I'm ready. I like that.
Yeah, so Barry, these sterling aluminum things... Mm-hmm. Is that available?
We don't have them yet, but we're going to get them. I like they remind me of the expensive Evian spray bottles my wife used to buy.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Very.
That'll be
elegant.
Next, Barry. They're going to do spray bottles.
They spray a little Chardonnay to cool you off by the
one under the arm, behind the ear.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be
they
cool.
have some very cool support for you, Barry. They have for the cold box. They have things where they roll out and you know do different things. And for events at big events, they have a screw top. That a straw fits through, if you want to.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so there's even more to this story.
Hard to get impressive. The nose out of a straw, isn't it?
This is true. I will tell you, it's a little difficult getting a note. The swirl thing doesn't exactly work in one of these aluminum cans.
You just don't want to make a lot of noise when you're
that's
out
right.
Straw.
That's right, exactly.
Wow, what a trip.
But this Pinot. Now, what? Tell us just a little bit about this.
Yeah, sure. So... Well, just one note about Chateau St. Jean and about Margot. So Jim mentioned before that Cinque Sapage won Wine Spectator's Wine of the Year back in the 90s, and that was actually the first time a Sonoma wine won that award. And that's kind of set a pattern that Chateau St. Jean continued of all these Sonoma firsts and of really speaking for Sonoma and growing the reputation of the entire region. And so, for example, Margot and the entire family at Chateau St. Jean, they've been big proponents of single vineyard wines from Sonoma and talking about the terroir of Sonoma and how diverse it is. And so what you're drinking right now is a single vineyard Pinot Noir, which a few decades ago would have been really hard by to you would have had a hard time finding, is what I'm trying to say.
You'll get there.
Thanks, Jim.
Wine's pretty good.
I think I had too much of it. A single vineyard wine from Sonoma back then. But
so
now
where's this vineyard from?
Sebastopol.
It's in Sebastopol.
Yeah, so it's a Russian Kirk River Loka. Valley. Yeah, Russian Farmed. River Valley appellated wine. And I think it just is a perfect Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. It's really silky, but also really concentrated. Has all that beautiful red fruit you expect from that appellation. So really classic.
It really does. It has that feminine quality, yeah, but it's also mouth-filling. Really good texture.
And this is one of the smoothest versions I've had from this vineyard. I probably had three or four examples. This is the most round, accessible version I've had, like ready to go
tonight.
Yeah,
and it's a 16, mm-hmm. right?
It is a 16.
Wow, that is. It's and what's beautiful. The list price on that? 70?
It's a winery only, pretty much, and to quality retailers who are interested in it.
But twist his arm in the parking lot.
I think it's 75.
75?
Yeah, which for high-end Russian River vineyards and so on, the other Hallbergs are probably priced more.
Right in the same zone.
Yeah. Right in the same zone.
That's a special bottle right there, boy. That's good.
You know, you mentioned earlier that event in 17, and one of the most telling times for me, it's choking me up now, people thought Chateau Saint-Jean burned.
Right. Oh.
And the outpouring of affection for that place is just incredible.
I mean, it came close. It came close to burning.
It burned down to the road that was separating it from the hillside.
Hillside, yeah.
Yeah, oof, yeah right in Glen Ellen, right? That whole town got hit really hard.
The house I originally lived in burned. That whole first block of Glen Ellen was gone. But
unbelievable.
Not to dwell on that, but the passion of the people who love this property and her.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Because as the big get bigger, because Treasury is big, there are some little gems within the big corporations, and St. Jean is one of those little gems. And boy, Margaux, still there, 40 still there. Years later, mm-hmm. and this wine is, I mean, you'd think it would be like a William Selyum or like a tiny producer making unbelievably high-end Pinot Noir. And she's not even known so much for her Pinot. Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah.
Well, and she also makes, a Gap's Crown and a Durell and some other ones from time to time. So
you guys are going to have to invite me down there. I need to.
I'll
get down there. I'll join you.
Yeah.
Approximately how many wineries does Treasury have?
Worldwide, probably about 80 or 90, I think.
Wow. And how many in Napa, Sonoma?
Well, our wineries, not to dwell on it, but we have Chateau Saint-Jean in Sonoma, Etude starting in Carneros, come up the road to Provenance, Hewitt, Bulia Vineyard, Behringer, Sterling, and Stag's Leap.
Oh, Stag's Leap,
and,
too.
And did I forget any?
Let me look at the back of your card here.
Yeah, look on the back of my card. So there, BVI.
Monterey Vineyards? Oh, yeah, that's well, that's not really up here. But
yeah, so we... one of the things that, as you just said, it is possible. Everyone thinks automatically that big is going to be bad.
Yeah.
But big brings resources, and if you're smart and you have historic properties like many of those that I just mentioned, give them the things they need, leave them alone, and let them do their thing. And sometimes you have somebody like Margaux there for a long time. Sometimes you get Mark Behringer back, a family member at the winery, and you have great things going on.
Acacia. That's
Acacia.
The other one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Acacia, too. So anyway,
yeah.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do we have a little more time to taste one more?
Yeah. Okay. One more? Well, you want to go to the Dead Eye?
Yeah, let's go to
Let's do the Dead Eye.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So this is a Provenance wine, actually. Dead Eye, if you look at the Provenance P, which I don't happen to have one of the regular labels. Oh, I do, actually. In the O, you'll see that there is that Dead Eye symbol.
Cross. Yeah.
And it means a couple of different things. It is all about precision farming, precision winemaking. That's kind of the shtick that we're working from that.
Got it.
The woman who helped develop this is a big-time sailor out of the St. Francis Yacht Club. And the thing that helps control some of the lines on a sailboat is a dead eye. And it's a kind of a...
Oh, even I know around, that. Even, yeah.
There you go. I figured. That's why I brought it up. So... So Provenance is well-known for Sauvignon Blanc and of some other things there in Rutherford.
And right on 29 there on the west side.
As Barry would tell you, red blends are a big category now. Many of them are big and ripe and rich and all of that sort of thing. So we don't tend to want to play in that area, but we can also play in having a big, voluptuous, wonderful wine like this. So this is a blend at 76 Cab. This is the first inaugural vintage. It retails for about $50. It is available in U.S. trade, although it was kind of designed to be for restaurants and things like that. But it is
it's a beautiful. Yeah. You say voluptuous. That's a perfect word for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's round and rich, full, not overly tannic. 16, so it's got a little time in the bottle.
And
it'll
only
do better with a little more time.
There's a new winemaker at Provenance, David Galzignato, great guy. And this is one of the first wines that he's only been there a couple of years, so this is one of the first things that he's managed to get make his statement with.
Grape to glass.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Provenance has got a lot of wonderful things happening. This is one of them. And people really like this wine.
More down the road of like a Meritage Bordeaux,
yep,
rich style blend.
Yeah.
Not austere and not sweet like a lot of the red blends have gotten.
We're wrapping up California Wine Country for this Wednesday. Tom Simoneau in for Dan Berger. And we're talking about Sterling Vineyards, Behringer, and a whole lot more. You guys still have a Behringer grape brick? Do you still?
So that we have not been able to find, but we have a photograph of it at the winery. So if you visit, you can see it on the wall there.
That is so cool.
It
was a box of concentrated grape juice that had traditionally been sold for non-alcoholic juice production. But then during Prohibition, Behringer was selling these, I suppose, worldwide?
Well, in the United States. The rest of the world wasn't quite as backwards.
They were still drinking wine in France and Italy when we had Prohibition.
Yeah, not have any wine here in Paris, the U.S.
The U.S. isn't doing it, so we're not either.
But I love this, and you mentioned this earlier. The grape bricks sometimes came with a warning saying, after dissolving the brick in a gallon of water, do not place the liquid in a jug away in the cupboard for 20 days, because then it would turn into wine, and that's illegal. I just love that.
Do not.
Yeah.
First,
put it in the gallon of water.
And there you go. And that's the history that is most important for marriages.
Right. Yeah. All right. Jim, thank you so much. Megan O'Connor from Sterling and Behringer. Go to Behringer.com. Check out all their cool stuff and their wonderful labels and their wonderful wine. It's great to see you again.
And come visit us at all those different properties that we mentioned. We'd love to have you.
All right. Yeah, Tom, thanks so buddy.
You bet. See you next month.
All right. Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn.
Thank you.
Oh, quickly.
Oh, yeah. Friday and Saturday tastings at the store. Don't forget, from noon to 5 usually. One liquor guy, usually one wine gal. Yeah. And then in September, we hope to have a tasting at the Hyatt again. Probably Petaluma Gap Wines.
Nice.
There you go.
All right, everybody. Great job. Thanks. Good to see you, Jim.
All right, good to see you.
My music partner.
See ya.
All right. Have a great night.